This is Jerry Toome with Smart Money, a broadcast of Cornerstone Financial Services with Cornerstone President and Founder, Jerry Toome. Jerry Toome is a certified financial planner. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor, member, FINRA, and SIPC. Cornerstone Financial Services and Independent Financial Group, LLC, are unaffiliated entities. Views and opinions heard on Jerry Toome's Smart Money are not necessarily the opinion of this station or its management or Independent Financial Group, LLC, its affiliates, officers, or directors. Material on this program is intended for general information only and should not be taken as specific investment, tax, or legal advice. We are here to talk about your finances, investments, and the economy, and we are aiming to change the way America thinks about investing. Well, Jerry, we got a very interesting interview with Vineta Dimitrova of Ned Davis Research. And again, if anybody would like to learn more about Ned Davis Research, you can find them at NDR.com. So NDR for Ned Davis Research.com.
Ned Davis is one of the old timers from Technical Analysis School. He's not a buy and hold thinker. They have models. They have a bunch of different models. So I can't, I can almost not keep up with all of them. But a lot of the charts that you're seeing, if you read Bear Market Starting, are from his service. Matter of fact, from Ned's writing himself. He still writes from time to time, even though I love his first, his most important book. It's called Being Right or Making Money, and it deals with emotions and the marketplace. Vineta is one of the economists. She's the global economist for them, and we discussed here, what we discussed was the impact of the tariffs and what they would have. And of course, this is before we knew, before Trump blinked, basically,
before he went to pause.
Yeah, he said, oh, wait a minute, we're just going to do a 10% tariff across the board except for China. And that was before that happened, and renegotiated, and that sounds like, oh, whew. You look at the art of the deal, he always goes big. He always gonna, if you're trying to buy a $1 billion hotel, he's gonna bid too high, or he's going to, ask for too much, or he's gonna lowball if he's trying to buy. That's just his way of doing things.
Yeah, if you want to figure out what he's thinking, that's a good, go find, we just did an AI summary of the book again to remind us, and man, it's just like, wow, this is his playbook.
This is what he's doing right now, and he's just doing, I saw a picture on Facebook that I thought, of course it was a fake picture, but it showed Xi Jinping sitting there reading The Art of the Deal, and I'm like, well, right. I hope somebody in his administration did, sort of. But the bottom line is that he's doing his thing the way he does it.
And the tariffs haven't gone away, so this is still important information.
And this, we don't know where it's going to settle. Where it's going to settle. We won't know that probably till July would be my guess. And I know he's wanting bilateral deals with individual countries for the most part. And of course, the EU will probably be in total. But the bottom line is he's going to get the best deal he can. And the challenge is it's upsetting the apple cart in terms of uncertainty. I've read horror stories about multinational companies or smaller companies. Their supply chains are spread out all over the world. How's that going to affect you? You have a 25% in Canada tariff. How does that affect me? Blah, 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 blah. It's going to be inflationary in the short run. It's going to be deflationary in the long run because it will reduce the consumer spending. And in this case, it looks like it will hurt the lowest income module people the worst in this. So I do believe we're headed for a recession. If you look at our newsletter, Bear Market Starting, the Challenger Survey, which is announcements that they're going to have essentially layoffs, but they haven't pulled them yet. That's coming. So I think by the third quarter, we're in a recession for sure. The question is it going to be a daddy bear or a mama bear? And the answer is yet to be determined. And watch out for Iran.
All right. Well, let's go to the interview with Vineta Dimitrova of Ned Davis Research.
And Vineta, the U.S. President Trump sent shockwaves through the stock market last week with his announcement on the tariffs. Your associate, Alejandra Grindel, in her April 3rd newsletter said, shocking tariffs to derail the economy. And that sounds pretty interesting to me. If the tariffs stay intact, and I know he's going to negotiate, they're very likely to push the economy into a recession. That's what her conclusion was. That sounds right to me. But my question to you is, you have an opinion as well. First of all, do you agree with this assessment? Would you like to elaborate further on what kind of damage this could do or will do to the global economy if everybody sticks to their guns?
Well, yeah, the first salvo here of this trade war came from President Trump, right? So it's only natural to expect that some of the larger economies, that have the propensity to retaliate will do so. And as the trade war escalates, it will necessarily hit the U.S. economy as well from abroad. The U.S. itself will suffer damage from the tariffs here. But your question was about the global economy here and Alejandro's assessment, which I very much agree with, right? I mean, we've been riding on this train here of increased economic policy uncertainty, mainly from the U.S. And the expectation was that the announcement of reciprocal tariffs would relieve at least some of that policy uncertainty and will give some reprieve to markets here, right? Nothing like that happened, quite the opposite. The announcement of the tariffs was for much larger taxes than previously expected, much larger tariffs than previously expected, and on a broad swath of countries that some, you know, could never even figure into, you know, economic thinking when you think about developed economies here. But the general understanding really became that because of the way the tariffs were structured, with a very rigid formula designed by the White House, and the relief of those tariffs was left basically to President Trump to assess, there isn't much room here for negotiation. They were designed with the prime purpose of eliminating the trade deficit, the bilateral trade deficit, I should say, of the U.S. with individual countries, and you know, will necessarily hurt both the U.S. and you know, our trading partners. Some of the assessments out there from the International Monetary Fund, for example, are that a 10% increase in U.S. tariffs will result in a half a percentage point decline in global growth. And because the average tariff that was announced by President Trump is more than double that, the expectation is, based on economic theory, that you know, the hit on the global economy will be around a percentage point or more. And Alejandro's assessment, with which I fully agree here, is that if this really were to materialize, and it runs on the assumption that those announced tariffs will remain in place for a while, then the global economy will really suffer significant damage here. Prior to the announcement of these tariffs, our projection was for the global economy to expand at a 3.1% rate this year. And if you go down by a full percentage point from that, it will put you below the 2.5% mark for global growth, which historically has been the delineation for a global recession. And this is how you jump from a currently well-positioned economy to one that veers toward recession in globally, really. And then if you want to talk about the U.S. economy, it will also suffer significant damage. I mean, this is quite a disruptive policy that is instituted in a very, quick way. There isn't a rollout, sequential increase, or announcement of tariffs. It's just a broad-based blanket, very high and much higher than anticipated tariffs on the rest of the world. And the adjustment of the U.S. economy to this new reality necessarily results in, you know, some damage to growth, as well as higher prices, especially in the near term. So even though the damage from tariffs to the U.S. may seem that it will be small, given that the size of our exports to the rest of the world is just like 10-11% of GDP, while other countries have much greater shares of exports to GDP, we will not go unscathed. And this repricing, if you will, of new economic realities, what's been, weighing on markets, not just in the past two days since announcing the reciprocal tariffs, but for a couple of weeks now in anticipation of what we're seeing.
Okay. So your assessment agrees with Alejandra that it looks like global recession. I know you mentioned in your April 4th piece, you stated the U.S. job market is in good shape before the tariff war. I know unemployment's been climbing slowly, but it looks to you like we're also going to suffer damage if Trump does not back down.
It will sure move in that direction, and there are several aspects through which the tariff war will impact, or I should say, we expect that it will impact the labor market and the broader economy. Since your question is specifically about the labor market here and the March employment report, what it shows truly is that the labor market is still in a relatively good shape. But as those tariffs come into place and they hit both final and intermediate goods, the cost of production and the cost of doing business in the U.S. will increase. And as that hits corporate earnings and is factored into earnings expectations down the road, this is when the rubber meets the road, really, right? So if your business plan is designed for a different cost structure and all of a sudden you have 25 to 50% higher costs, what is the first response for a business to do here? Looking at average costs and marginal costs of doing business, the first thing to do is look at your variable costs and adjust those. And labor is the largest one of those. So as your other costs increase, as a business, you could either reduce hours worked or employers that are in your staffing. And this is where, you know, the hit on employment will come first, mostly from businesses who could not shift directly to substitute inputs that can be sourced from a cheaper source or domestically. And, you know, if this turns out to be a, negative effect that feeds on itself, this is how you get a full-blown recession. Instead of talking about a sectoral impact, because tariffs are so broad-based on everything from everywhere, it will be very easy to get the negative snowball effect.
That sounds exactly right, and that's what I see coming too, but I don't have the expertise quite that you do on the macroeconomics, but at the same time, this sounds correct to me. Now, let's talk about some specifics. A larger global economy like China and Europe, they're likely to fight back against Trump's tariffs. Smaller economies, I don't know, Mexico, Canada, I haven't heard the latest, might knuckle under. Can you comment a little bit on this perspective? The big guys versus the little guys, how is that going to play out? And what do you see happening with other economies around the world, especially places like South Korea, other parts of Asia?
That's a big question, right? I mean, all these economies are very diverse economies with very different structures and exposures to the U.S. market. China is a special case, right? Not just because we have a large merchandising trade deficit with them, but also because they already know what it feels like to face large tariffs. The 2018-19 tariffs that President Trump imposed at the time sort of prepared them, if you will, for an even larger, you know, shock, if you want to call it now, to them. Although given that they already have the experience, it's probably less of a shock, you could argue. So they have been preparing for this moment, for the eventual maybe return of Trump to the White House, which materialized, and he's following through on the promises that he's made in terms of tariffs. So what China is doing, it's already retaliating. Even with the first, prior to the announcement of the reciprocal tariffs, it had already announced some retaliation to the initial 20% increase in tariffs that the president had put on imports from China. But, you know, it also, raised tariffs on all U.S. Exports to China by 34% today, right? So it's already retaliating. It has the capacity to do so. The smaller economies, like many in Southeast Asia who have very large export dependency to the U.S., are not so lucky, right? So, but China can definitely benefit from this moment here. And given the geographic proximity to countries like Vietnam and even South Korea, they could align, those smaller economies could align better with China than they are aligned with the U.S. right now. Right, and this is one of the downsides to a policy, trade policy, international trade policy that is not well thought of. So in this case, China has the potential to retaliate, and it could even, like I said, bring closer relations with countries that have no other option but take it on the chin, if you will, from the hit on their goods from our tariffs, right?
Yeah.
Mexico and Canada, they're a special case too because of the USMCA, and that agreement is still very much in place. So all goods that are, you know, USMCA compliant are still zero tariffed. The rest is subject to higher tariffs, but the majority of trade with those two countries is not. The agreement itself will be renegotiated and we will see how it's going to play out, but my expectation is that, you know, we will have a continuation of this agreement because of the large economic benefits we have seen over time. You could harp on the topic that a lot of manufacturing jobs have moved to Mexico, but there's also benefits from trade between between our three countries here in North America. In Europe, goes the same way, similar to China, because of the size. We also have a very large deficit with the European Union, and they do have the propensity to respond with retaliation. More than that, they have the capacity to stimulate the domestic economy. And we already saw with the large stimulus bill that was passed in Germany for, you know, stimulating both defense and infrastructure spending in the continent, that, you know, they're willing to do that spending. So that will kind of mitigate the negative impact on the continent from the tariffs that U.S. is doing. China is also stimulating their economy, and we know that, you know, it's very difficult for them to do that. They don't want to fall into a debt trap, if you will. But if China were to align with local economies better, one of the benefits for China is that it will have a source to countries with better demographic outlook than its own. That has been one of the negatives for the long-term outlook for China.
Okay.
And if because of trade, China aligns better with the regional economies in Asia and gives it access to their demographics and labor force, then it will benefit from that as well. So this is in addition to the positive fiscal stimulus that China is implementing into the country. And, you know, it's one of the unforeseen, perhaps, impacts of this global trade realignment.
That's an excellent point. I hadn't thought that through, but that's very good. And it gives them better demographics, obviously, from the China's one-child policy. Let's go back to the United States for a second. One of the biggest, and this could be U.S., it also could apply and will apply, I'm sure, internationally. One of the biggest negatives to me, from my perspective, corporations could slam shut like a clam on future CapEx, at least for a while. Looks like it's, as we've been talking about, looks like it's pushing us into a recession. Do you see the corporate executives slamming their purses shut? And if so, for how long?
This is everywhere in the CapEx surveys that we track. All the regional manufacturing surveys are showing exactly what you're describing, that there is this cyclical, you know, delay in CapEx plans. I don't want to call them shutdown just yet, but because of this grand policy uncertainty that I mentioned in the beginning, many executives are skittish on investing, especially for the long term. Right. So we're seeing that in regional manufacturing surveys, in the surveys of big businesses like CEO and CFO, confidence businesses, even the small business optimism index from the NFIB also shows some uncertainty there. So, yeah, CapEx is being held back precisely because of not knowing how long those tariffs are going to stay in place. And right after the reciprocal tariffs were announced, Treasury Secretary Bessent had a very interesting interview with Bloomberg, I believe it was, and he mentioned there explicitly that the tariffs that were mentioned are basically a cap, assuming that there is no retaliation. And from here on out, the door is basically open to renegotiate more favorable terms with the baseline of 10% kept in mind as a tariff for all imports. But 10% is much less than 65%, right? Yeah. So this in itself, as favorable as it may sound for the future, for the countries that may renegotiate terms, is actually negative when it comes to economic policy and trade policy uncertainty. Not knowing what trade policy will look like 6 months from now is probably what's keeping businesses from investing or moving, if you will, even some of their factories here. Yes, the president is announcing grand plans from large corporations to reshore production, and a lot of that is going on even before the tariffs, right? I'm sure businesses learned, you know, a valuable lesson during COVID, that having very concentrated supply chains and relying just on just-in-time inventories could come to bite you, right? So reshoring some production, or friendshoring or nearshoring, probably would have continued with or without the tariffs. To bring everything back to the U.S., though, is a tall order, especially in the near term. And this is where the economy may hit some obstacles, right? I mean, it's for the long term, to have greater manufacturing capacity and to have a reindustrialized nation that produces a lot of the high value manufacturing output in the country will be great. This is the long term goal of the administration, supposedly. But hitting all countries and all goods imports with tariffs, including on, you know, small consumer goods like toys and apparel and things like that, that are, you know, produced at a much lower cost and at a lower cost producer country, may not play too well, right? I mean, we don't have the labor force at the time, and we probably don't have the comparative advantage, if you will, relative to those low-cost countries to produce the same output at the same price. So, you know, when it comes to producing everything domestically, there are pluses and minuses here, right? Mm-hmm. And the blanket level of these reciprocal tariffs seem to have kind of ignored the theory of comparative advantage and are simply aiming to eliminate the trade deficit. The grander point here when it comes to the trade deficit and current account overall deficit elimination, the bigger point is that it comes alongside a financial services surplus. So you lose the current account deficit, let's say, but you also lose the financial account surplus. And the financial account surplus consists of foreign direct investment, as well as portfolio investment, which is the bigger share of it, actually. It's much bigger than foreign direct investment. So our economy has been, lucky enough to be large enough, open enough, very liquid capital markets, rule of law. All of these things have been attracting foreign investors. And the dollars that had gone abroad for things that we do not produce domestically have come back to the country in the form of investment, stimulating, CapEx. Without the current account deficit, you know, portfolio investment will probably decline first, but overall smaller foreign investment will reduce the demand for financial instruments, including treasuries, and this is where some of the balances may start to unravel.
Yeah, this is quite complicated, but it's excellent information. Which economies do you think will be most negatively impacted? Is that really apparent at this point, or is it too soon to tell?
It's too soon to tell for one main reason, that we don't know just yet how long the tariffs will stay in place. Perhaps there will be sufficient backlash that they will be altered in some way. But even if we stay at the baseline tariff of 10%, there will be some countries who will be hit more than other countries, right? I mean, like I said earlier, those with a greater export dependence to the U.S. Will probably suffer more. Those who have greater alternatives to the U.S. to export their goods, or have a greater capacity to stimulate their own domestic demand, and these are larger economies, will probably fare a little bit better. But Southeast Asia, let's say, where a lot of the consumer goods are imported from in the U.S., will face quite a bit of difficulty, I would assume.
Yeah, I would assume so too. Well, I appreciate that. This has been very enlightening, and it's very technical, but at the same time, this is what we're dealing with. We've got a very unusual situation with a president who seems to be very determined, even though, like you said, Bessent may have softened it a little bit on his recent interview. This is still a wild and woolly world to me from what I'm seeing, and I'm not sure we're through with all the shocks that are going to hit the system, not necessarily only pertaining to tariffs. But excellent information, and we want to have you back on our show again at some point in the near future.
It was my pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome.
Jerry Tuma Smart Money is a broadcast of Cornerstone Financial Services of Dallas, Texas. Jerry Tuma is a certified financial planner. Financial advisors at Cornerstone could help you if you prefer to delegate your investment decisions to a financial professional. Securities and advisory services offered through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor, member FINRA SIPC. Cornerstone Financial Services, an independent financial group, LLC, are unaffiliated entities. We publish a newsletter, Cornerstone Report, which is available on our website or by calling our toll-free number at 800-327-4285. That's also the number to call for more information about anything we've discussed during today's broadcast. For more information, visit our website at cornerstonereport.com. Views and opinions heard on Jerry Tuma Smart Money are not necessarily the opinion of this station or its management or Independent Financial Group, LLC, its affiliates, officers, or directors. Material on this program is intended for general information only and should not be taken as specific investment, tax, or legal advice. Remember, we are aiming to change the way America thinks about investing.